Hallelujah. Father, we come this morning again and just gather together looking for the visitation of your Spirit. Again, we come with absolute divine assurance that where we would gather in your name, you would be here in the midst of us. Father, we've not come together just out of tradition. We've not come together to study a Bible, truths. We're coming to know your visitation, your very life among us. We thank you for this living word that you're about to impart to us today, that it is alive and powerful. We thank you that this word is the very source of faith and power that's necessary to walk this life out in this hour. And so, Father, make your word come alive to us here this morning and capture our hearts, our minds, our souls, Lord, and we will give you all the praise and we'll give you all the glory for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's look over at Deuteronomy for just a moment and some great promises that Father's spoken to us. And in these promises, along with these promises, come the great admonitions to you and I to make sure that we give proper place to the Word of God in our lives. You know, we've been talking a lot about the need to get quiet before God and to separate ourselves in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. One thing we know by that verse is you can't pray too much, amen? You know, if anybody ever tells you, you know, you're kind of getting carried away and, you know, this prayer, it's kind of taking up all of your time and, you know, maybe you're getting a little bit fanatical. If we ought always to pray, then you can't pray too much, can you? We know what that means. We know that prayer is an attitude of the heart. We know that prayer is just communion with Father. You know, when the Lord asks the question, when I come, will I find faith upon the earth? We, many times, minds go to, you know, the signs and wonders that we've been talking about and trying to stir our hearts to be ready to receive in our midst. But faith also is just the everyday obedience to the Word of God, to walking out the revelations that the Lord is showing to you and I are so vital at this time in our lives. When you get quiet before the Lord, you're going to hear different things that pertain to your life. You're going to hear something that's different from what I'm hearing at that time of communion with the Lord. Now, the reason for the church and the reason for biblical authority is that a common goal and direction would be set. But as it pertains to each of our individual lives, Father will be dealing with and revealing things to us, get this, about us, amen, not about anybody else. God is not going to talk to you about me. We all have our hands full taking care of just us, don't we? And so we have that time of fellowship. And when he says, when I come, and we could paraphrase it this way or reiterate it in a thought process that would go something like this. When the Lord comes, will he find an obedient people on the earth? Will he find people doing his word? Tragically, as we've been talking, the church today, the church today loves Bible study, loves to go in and fill its mind with knowledge. Tragically, a lot of the reason people want to study is so that they can argue with other people and try to prove their points. But the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we study to become workmen. We study to become effective for the kingdom of God, to fulfill that role that we've been talking about as ambassadors of God, to be able to work out that admonition that's been given to you and I as to who we are. We are the light of the world, and we are the salt of the earth, aren't we? Now, if we lose our savor as salt, or if we're not doers, if people are not watching us do the word of God, live in lives of obedience, the salt, having lost its savor, he says then, is good for nothing but to be cast underfoot and trodden over. You know, as always, I have to come up with a title for each of the teachings. And, you know, after 40 years, coming up with a new title is tough. You wouldn't believe all the different titles we've had to come up with. So I borrowed from Nike this morning. And I told him the title of this morning's message is Just Do It. Just Do It. Swoosh. Right? And to understand then what God is speaking to you and I and what he's directing us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's start off there this morning and there's a lot of people that love to study the Word, talk about the Word. There's a lot of people who like to instruct others with the Word, because so many of us love to be teachers, don't we? Telling other people what to do. It's not what a teacher is. A teacher is a helper to the learner. A good teacher is a helper to the learner, in whatever way that might be necessary. But usually it's hands-on. Great teaching, discipleship, hands-on training. Show them how to do it. Or as the apostle said, as the scripture says, be a follower of me as I follow Christ. And there is no greater instructor than one that'll just set the course and go before us. And so we're called and the Lord is speaking to us of the necessity then of being doers of the word, the scripture says, and not hearers only. Those of us that are just hearers, students, those who can by rote quote the word of God. It's amazing to me how many people over the years I've run into that can quote Bible but have absolutely no capacity in the area of exegesis. They can quote it but don't have a clue what it's saying, how to apply it, how to really begin to see how what was stated in the scriptures applies to this particular situation. And as we've said over the years, you know, a lot of the criticisms that we've received over the years is, you know, well, you know, Pastor Scott, we cannot argue with the fact that what you teach is the Word of God. I just don't like the way that you apply it. And as I've shared so many times before, that's not true. People do not disagree with the way we apply the word. They disagree with the fact that we apply the word. People want to hear, but they don't want to do. People want to modify their behavior based upon their preferences, their own personal appetites, their own personal idols. Now, we know what the scripture teaches and how dangerous this is, as the prophet Ezekiel speaks, that if we're not careful, if we refuse to hear the whole counsel of God, he says, I will answer you according to your idols. Isn't that a scary thing? When we don't come before God with honest hearts and just say, Lord, show me the truth about myself, you will begin to be answered according to your idols. And you'll look around and you'll finally keep looking and going to other studies and going on the internet till you can find somebody that agrees with what you want to do. And then say, that's truth. Hearers of the word, not doers, deceiving their own selves. There is no greater darkness than self-deception. If your darkness, the scripture says, be light, then how great is that darkness? And so we're looking at the scriptures and we see this admonition that's coming to us here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's look down at verse 14 and we'll begin reading there. So many great statements that's being made throughout these chapters, and we don't have time to look at all of this in detail, but you know, in chapter 29 verse 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and, say it, do them. Doesn't take that long to get over there. Just roll your eyes to the left a little bit. 29:9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and, say it with me, do them, that it may, that you may prosper in all that you do. Hallelujah. Do them, that you may prosper. That word prosper, the Hebrew there, it's talking about the ability to go ahead with speed. To go ahead in force. You know, prosperity is far more than money, isn't it? I would that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers, the Apostle John said. Prosperity is coming to the maturation of sons. It's a coming forth to completion and perfection. Another word for maturity. And so the prophets are speaking here, and he said, I want you to be a prosperous people. I want you to be victorious in everything that you do. We read this passage as a scripture. We're the head and not the tail. We're above only, the scripture says, and not beneath. Hallelujah. But only if we do the word of God. Only if we're walking and our lives are in absolute obedience. And as we're going to see this morning, to all of his statutes. We've got to be very careful in this hour that we don't think we have the liberty to pick and choose what the word of God is saying to us today. You know, we're so easily deceived by our own preferences. You know, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And then it goes on and says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject you. You know, it's better to not know than to know and reject. It's better to be ignorant. But one thing for sure, we are not an ignorant people of the Bible. We know what God's word says. And he's going to hold us accountable to everything that he's spoken to us. And so as we come into this last hour, we want to have ears that are keen and hearing. Let him that has ears hear what the Spirit says to the church. What God's saying to us today? You know, last year, we were speaking considerably along the lines of the bride making herself ready. We were talking about personal sanctification and holiness in our lives. He's still speaking that to us today, isn't he? What's the Spirit saying to the church? What are you hearing him say today? Let me tell you something. If you're hearing him talk to you today about how to get wisdom, to lay up, you know, and to get involved in the market and make wise investments, and there's nothing wrong with saving and there's nothing wrong with investments, and we're not talking about, you know, fleeing to the mountains and hiding. But this is not the hour to be looking ahead to anything but the soon return of Jesus. Even the denominations today that have it in their belief system, in their fundamentals of faith, are not teaching it. And how many of us that are still teaching it are really doing it? Are you taken up with the coming of the Lord? Does it enter your mind every day? Beloved, this is the blessed hope. Amen. This is the blessed hope. This is what we're looking for today. The scripture says he's going to appear to those that love his appearing. Not spend a little bit of time in Daniel and spend a little bit of time in Ezekiel and a little bit of time in Revelation and study eschatology. That's not loving his appearing. That's not looking for him. Every man, 1 John 3 says, every man that has this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Hallelujah. Amen. The expectation of the coming of Jesus manifests itself in personal purity, in personal holiness. There's no greater hindrance to sin's power manifesting in the life of a believer than the expectation of the imminent return of Jesus. We're going to talk this morning about obedience. That expectation, if it has the place in our lives that it needs to occupy, controls so much of our decision making. And how many of us are making decisions that are contrary to the imminent return of Jesus? The way we invest our time and our energies, and I harp over and I harp on and I harp on it again, and it's only because it's the Bible. In the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's not pagans, it's not unbelievers. Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. The prophets speak of it, those of old. They even verbalize it to the prophets. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Tell us what we want to hear. Tickle our ears. Say it's okay to live a Christianity of profession and not obedience. A Christianity of dogma and doctrine. And not doing. And so here we are, the church, going into this last age. Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. Our obedience and our doing needs to be escalating. Amen. Not diminishing. And so the word speaks to us here, and he says, man, just keep them and do them and you'll prosper in everything. The 29th verse of this 29th chapter. The secret things belong to the Lord. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Can you say praise God for that? The generational aspect of God's word and his whole order for our lives. All of the commitments you're making, all of the purification of your own personal life that you're involving yourself in, all of the study of the word of God. It's for passing it on to the next generation. That we can leave a godly seed. Amen? He said, listen, those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may, say it with me, do all the words. Do all the words. So we see the theme this morning, don't we? Just do it. All of it. I'll share something with you that I just shared with some of the pastors on the way in this morning. And it'll let you see how easily things in our lives creep in. Now you all know me and you know my pet peeves. I'm sure every one of us is aware of, or most of us are aware of the story that's national to where this young man in the pickup killed all these old people in a church van. The story goes that somebody was trying to get his attention, and people were actually wanting to call in and have somebody come and see what was wrong with this guy. His driving was so erratic. Well, anyway, he drives and kills these people, and he was texting and all over the road, just texting. You see it here. I hate driving around here. You know, I'm really toying with buying a tank. And how tragic it is. And so we talk about, you know, the cell phone. And, you know, Lord help us. But I've talked to some of you, and some of you have even admitted to me that you are addicted to your devices. And, you know, you can see the Pavlovian responses. That little thing buzzes and people just instantly. I've told you, if that happens when I'm around, if that thing buzzes and I'm talking to you and you turn your attention immediately to that, I'm walking off. There is absolutely no reason that that buzz should have precedence over somebody you're talking to face to face. That's foolishness. Let me just share with you, there's only one thing that should demand attention, and that's the trumpet. And if it ain't a trumpet, now don't program your phones to sound like a trumpet. Then forget about it. But here's where I'm going with that, and I want to get back on course. How is it that we can accept that addiction in our lives and not alcohol or cocaine or food or whatever else it is that the Bible says nothing should have power over us? Amen? Except the Lordship of Jesus Christ. All things are lawful for me, the Apostle Paul says, but they are not all expedient or necessary. And I will be under the power of none of them. Now, I say that to say, here's something that has become, it's going to only get worse. Somehow God is allowing this plight. Oh, if we could hear and respond to the voice of God with that kind of sensitivity and passion and urgency. Would to God that we would be under the power of His call in our lives and His presence, His availability. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He hearkens to us and says, come boldly into the throne room of God that you might obtain the great mercies of God and obtain help in the time of need. We have that invitation to the very throne room of God. And we're more taken up with, I can't believe it. I saw something the other day. I don't even know what it was. And I saw this little kid that did some stupid thing. And they said 300 million people watched it. And it was the dumbest thing you ever saw. And I thought, how can 300 million people take time? And I think I know how it works. That somebody explained to me that people kind of see it and then they tell somebody else, you got to see this. What if we spread the gospel that way? And not some cat swallowing an elephant or whatever, you know, is taking place. But the distractions and the treasure and the time. Men being lovers of entertainment more than lovers of God, the scripture says. It's the sign of the times. And we are a people influenced, not to the extent the world is, but beloved, we're drunk with entertainment. It's not a new thing. We find historical writings back in the first century, man. The pastors were having to get on to the church. See, we think the first century church, these guys were perfect. Nah, flesh is flesh, man. And people were wanting to get out of church early to go to the circus. I don't mean Barnum and Bailey. But they wanted to go to the Roman Colosseum. They wanted to go to the Circus Maximus. Chariot races and different games that would be taking place. Doers. If we're going to do it all, that's how we got off on the cell phone thing. Then you can't let that be an exception. You can't just be addicted to that and think it's okay. The standards have already been set. And I will be under the power of... If we don't live in the Word of God, this kind of stuff slides by. If we're not doers of the word, these kind of things move into that realm of darkness. If your light be darkness. And then we miss that area of our life and we begin to be leavened and we begin to have this spiritual life and vitality. Sucked out of us, or as Jesus taught in His parable, the cares of this world, like vines, come in and just start slowly choking you out. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things enter in and choke the Word of God out of our lives. You know, when we're talking about spending time and getting quiet before God, I'm talking about with your Bible open. You see, anything and everything you hear in prayer needs to measure up to the Word of God. Amen? We know the Scripture is very clear. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the Scripture says. In this last day, there's going to be, you're going to see the rise of prophets. There's going to be great signs and wonders, the Scripture tells us. It's going to parallel the real. The counterfeit will parallel the real. And there will be these prophets that will rise up. Ultimately, Antichrist, this great prophet, will rise up and say that he's the Christ. And delude the people. Hide my word in your heart that you won't sin against me. Spend time with thee and know who I am and know what my heart does and what it says and confirm that with the Scriptures. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. All prophecy that's from God has to bear with it the very heartbeat and the spirit of Jesus. So be doers of the word and not hearers only. Do all the word of God. The secret things belong to the Lord. But those things that he does desire to reveal, he's already revealed in his word. Amen? And there's not going to be any other greater special revelation, someone that comes up with a new teaching or a new doctrine or a new revelation. Paul said, anybody that preaches another gospel to you, let them be damned to hell. Anathema, Maranatha. We have to fight. We have to labor in the Word of God and in prayer to keep safe in these areas and pass it on, as we just saw, to the next generation. Let your kids see you on your face, not in front of your devices. Wouldn't it be tragic if somewhere down the road, one of your great-great-grandchildren says, you know, what did your grandma or your grandpa look like? And say, well, they look, it was kind of a rectangular plastic face. Never saw their face, really. It was always behind this device. What did they sound like? Well, they didn't speak. They just texted everything to me. I never heard the warmth of that voice. Oh, what an hour we live in. And if we ever needed to become a people that could know what true intimacy is, we're that people. We need to know what it means to be intimate with God. To get in the presence of God. To talk face to face to God. To hear His Word coming to us and be alive. These great commandments that have been given to us. Chapter 30, verse 6 says, the Lord God will circumcise your hearts and the heart of your children to love the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul that thou mayest live. Verse 8, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of your hand. Hallelujah. You know, we got so many people wanting to get ahead today, wanting to prosper. Nothing wrong with that. The Bible tells you how to prosper. And nobody believes it. Nobody wants to do it. God's constantly saying, I want to bless you. And we look back and say, I don't trust you, God. You'd never bless me to the capacity I want to be blessed. You don't really know what I need in my life. You don't really understand how deserving I am. I don't want to get off too far, but you know, we know the passage. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow with them. Hallelujah. You know, we have a testimony in Africa. It's a very, very rare testimony. We've been there for a lot of years right now. And we can stand in those conferences. I stood in Tanzania preaching to 9,000 pastors, 9,000 senior pastors. And we're able to tell them, we're not interested in your money. You don't have to pay for anything, our coming, our hotels, our food. You don't have to pay for anything. In fact, and we shared with them, we've been here X number of years, and we have not taken one penny out of your nation. I've lived my whole Christian life this way in the ministry starting out. And that's why I've never been able to be bought. It'll never be said that any man has made Abraham rich. Paul was being accused some of that. He said, I'm not seeking yours, I'm seeking you. You want to prosper? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Praise God. The blessings of the Lord will overrun you. Hallelujah. I told a pastor one time, I said, we're both running this race, man. We're running this race. And you're chasing blessings, and blessings are chasing me. Hallelujah. Because I choose to do all of His commandments. We go to Africa and teach poor people. We're not here to empathize with your poverty. We're here to teach you to honor God. I don't care what you have. You tithe. I don't care how poor you are. The scripture teaches, the scripture says that God is no respecter of the poor. Don't give me your halt and your maim. Isn't that what he says in Malachi? You know, I've told a story about that friend of mine. This is a true story. A little boy came up to him just before church was starting. He said, Mama was gonna, this is back when they'd bring goods to the church to eat the pastor, and they would give him green beans and whatever else. And little boy came up and said, well, Mama was going to bring the chicken this morning, but it got well. Hallelujah. Keep all of His commandments and He'll bless you. Hallelujah. Don't you dare work overtime and absent yourself from the house of God. Well, it's an emergency. God is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Amen? When God's your source, there's no holes in the bag. You can't make enough to get out from under the curse that Malachi speaks of if you rob from God. And we're just talking about little ways, things that we think we can do. One little decision. I'm only going to be disobedient to the word for a month so I can get everything right. How can you get right by doing wrong? Well, it's not going to hurt just for 30 days. Try to put that one off on your wife. You know, 30 days of adultery won't hurt anything. I'm just taking a month off. And I'll be right, you know, I'll be back and everything will be fine. But, you know, it's just, I'm just taking a month off of loving you and preferring you and being only yours. Isn't that what we tell the Lord when we walk off in disobedience? We're going to go commit adultery with the world. You're a lover of the world. The world's lover. Want their stuff. I'll be back. Well, the Lord has something to say about that. He goes on in these passages and he says, the Lord does want to make you plenteous in every work of your hand. Verse 10, and if you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and keep his commandments, that are written in this book, and if thou turn to the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your heart, turn to somebody next to you and say, with all of your heart. He said, if you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. When you seek him with all of your heart, and with all of your soul. I want you to be full of my commandments. I want you to be obedient and keep all of these commandments that it might be well with you. He says. Verse 14. But the word is very near unto you. It's in your mouth. And in your heart, that you might do it. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. We've memorized it. We know it. We can quote it. We require others to do it. But he said, I've put these things in your heart that you might do it. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. You know, we've got a decision to make, don't we? In that I command thee this day to love the Lord, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and God will bless you in the land that you're going to possess. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but are drawn away and worship other gods, whatever your ambitions are, whatever that is, I'm going to take off from doing what I know God is requiring of me to make things right so I can have my goals reached, I can have all of my stuff protected. I can hold on to this thing that I over-leveraged myself on, I borrowed too much, I bought too much. I charged too much. And so now to feed my habit, I've got to forsake God. I'd really love to have something to give toward missions. I'd really love to have more to give to those that are needy, but you know, I've somehow made myself needy. You're not needy. Having food and raiment therewith, be content. Amen? You're not needy until you don't know where you're eating your next meal. And that's the biblical definition of poor. But because of our lusts, our worldly appetites, we've got to go over to protect this thing. And I love our terminology because, you know, I want to be a good steward. Now I have money invested in this and I don't want to lose it because then that's going to be bad stewardship. Don't even use that word. But I don't know why we're over there. Somebody's in trouble here this morning. I don't know who you are, but something's happening along these lines. And I'd encourage you to have ears to hear. We have no reason to be off on that, but it seems like that's two or three now. So whoever you are, can I encourage you something this morning? Just do it. Amen? Just get free. Just love God with all your heart and with all your soul. Let God be your source. Turn everything else that's loose, that's binding and killing you, and get free so that you can walk and be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Oh, what a blessed life that is to walk in that kind of a peace. He said, be careful if you turn to your own idols, verse 17, and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days upon the earth. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Say it with me. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life that both thou and thy children and thy children's children may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And so we see these admonitions that are coming to God's covenant people. Now, there's never been people like this on the earth. This that's going on here with Moses, this is a new thing. God has taken to himself a people and made covenant with them. This was a true theocracy, this government. And I don't want to get too far off the course, but let's be careful that we don't try to take the laws that apply to us, the church, the covenant people of God, and expect other people to live by them. You know, Christians all the time getting themselves in trouble, and we're talking to people and telling them they shouldn't drink and they shouldn't smoke and they shouldn't commit fornication. Why shouldn't they? That's who they are. They're of their father, the devil. That's what they do. We don't confront them about their behavior. We confront them about their hostility and hatred for a loving God who died for their sins, who came, died for our sins, rose again for our justification, and is coming again for our glorification, that we might see him and be like him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not about the way these people are living. Paul said it to the Corinthians. He said, look, I'm not here to dictate to those that are in the world and how they live. He said, but what's wrong? Isn't there anybody spiritual enough in the church here that we would judge this thing properly? You know, that tells me that we as covenant children are all under a universal obligation to walk separate from the world, to love God with all of our heart, soul, body, mind, and strength. And as we're going to see as we read on it here in Deuteronomy, and if those among us are not, that we're to bring to them instruction and reproof. Amen? To encourage them to finish this course. Now, it even gets a little more extreme as we read on, and possibly we'll pick this up tonight, but it gets a little more extreme. He says, if anybody in your midst, even your own very family, comes and tries to seduce you to other gods, that tries to get you to come and say, hey, you know, I know that's what the commandments are, but you don't have to do them right now. He said, you are to be the first one to put your hands upon them and kill them. Now, they were talking literally. In the New Covenant, Paul says it a different way. He says, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. But there's no place for it in the church. Amen? Paul said, don't even let these things be once named among you that are becoming so common in the church today. You know, we talked about first century Christians wanting to slip out and get down to the circus and to the Colosseum, and we don't have to do that anymore. We're able to just pipe it right into our houses. We don't even have to get home. We can get our device. And we can run somebody off the road on the way home checking out the scores and doing stuff. Do you drive and text? It's against the law. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. Live in a different kingdom. We text in the kingdom. So what other laws of the land are you not going to obey? Do you speed? I do sometimes. But you'd be surprised. If you follow me around, I'm the guy like going through my neighborhood. I'm the guy going 20. Because children are undisciplined today. They'll run out in the streets. I'm extra cautious. Can you imagine hitting some little child because you're in a hurry to get home 13 seconds faster than if you drove the speed limit? Have you ever noticed those guys that come around you on the freeway and they're cutting in and out of people and they're doing this, and 10 minutes later, you're next to them again? Next time I do that, I'll wave to you when you come up. And no, I don't do that. I have a driver. But you see the point we're trying to make, right? What other laws do we break? What other areas of our life are we the supreme truth and authority? And not the lordship of Jesus. How many of you in here think Jesus would text while driving? Or talk on the phone? Or speed? And so we can justify all of these other things and say, well, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. How much of this stuff do we have to load in our shopping cart before it sinks us? When do we, and I'll end with this for this morning, when do we become the antinomians? Now we know that the real problems in the first century church was Gnosticism and antinomianism. Gnostics, those that were getting new revelations, they were super spiritual, they were above everybody. I would share this revelation with you, but you wouldn't understand it. Oh, and it's not in the Word, it's above the Word. You had both Cerinthus and Docetes, the two major proponents of Gnosticism and the camps that were following them. And of course, you know, we know that some of Gnosticism taught that all matter was evil, therefore Jesus was evil. Jehovah was an evil God because he created heavens and earth and matter. And there's a spiritual source or force beyond that that's pure light. Do you see why John says weird stuff in the first epistle like God is light and in him is no darkness at all? People say, why is that in there? It's because of those guys. He was answering their questions. Why Paul speaks and says that all things were made by him and for him and without him was not anything made. And so you have these different aspects of Gnosticism and we have those then that are out and they're fulfilling every vice physically and they're committing adultery and fornication and homosexuality and they're gluttons and everything, but they're right with God in their hearts. We have that teaching in the church today. It's called hyper grace. And so you had that group, and then you had the antinomians, and they were the ones that said, well, you know, we just live in the spirit realm, and we're a people that, you know, that have this communion directly with God, and that all law, all order, all commandments have no place now in the life of a man who walks in the spirit. Well, the apostle goes on and says, no, the law is good and perfect. It's just, amen? The law, the apostle goes on, says, the law is for the lawless. That's why people don't like the law, because they want to be lawless. But the law calls them on it, doesn't it? And so when we sit and we hear preaching of the Word of God and it starts calling us on some of these things, if your heart's not broken and said, that's the truth, God help me and deliver me from this thing, then you're moving into that spirit of rebellion, into antinomianism, into the rejection of the Word of God. Now who are you rejecting? You're not rejecting a book. God and His Word are one. Jesus said, I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things made by Him. So we'll close this morning. Where do we pick and choose? Or do we keep all His commandments? And if we keep all of His commandments, it's going to be good with us. Choose. I put before you life and death. Choose life this morning. Choose to spend more time with God and say, what needs to be cleaned up in my life? Where more can I be obedient? Obedience is better than sacrifice, the prophet says. Get quiet. What's God saying to me? This promise to Joshua to keep the commandments of God. He says, meditate upon this word day and night, and then will your way be made prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Father, we ask you this morning to help us to meditate upon your word without ceasing. More needs to be done in my life. I don't love you with all of my heart and soul and body and mind and strength. I just don't, Lord. I know that I'm short. Help me. Help me in my unbelief. Deliver me, Lord, from my own lust and ambitions and pride. We so long to see you and be like you, Lord. Help us in this purification of self. denial of self. Not asceticism, not works. I know I'm saved. I know that by grace I stand before you justified, redeemed. If while I was a sinner you loved me, how much more now that I'm your son? I'm not talking about that, Father. I just want to glorify you with my life. I just want to be more like you. I want to be used of you. I want to pass it on to this next generation that they could be people in love with you more than the cares of this world. Help us, Father, that we would let your word stand as it's written. You've said if we would keep and do, then we would prosper in everything that we put our hand to. Help us to raise up a generation that believes that, we ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, turn to somebody next to you and say, choose life. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.